Today on Seculo, the ACLJ exposes Biden's dark secret.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. By the way, this is big news in the conservative media world. We're going to get into the Seculo Brothers podcast this afternoon, but you want to check that out. It goes up at 4 p.m. Eastern time on all the places you get your podcast or watch. So we know people are seeing some of that news breaking right now, and again, in the conservative media world. We are launching today something brand new at the ACLJ, and I want to say thank you to our supporters for supporting our efforts along the way to get us to this point. It's aclj.org/coverup, where we walk you through specifically, you recall in 2021, there was a Yemeni terrorist apprehended at the border, and then a second Yemeni terrorist was apprehended in March of 2021. And then on April 5th, CBP, Customs and Border Patrol, puts out a press release. We caught these two terrorists at the border, yeah, which celebrate. Is, by the way, it's both a warning to law enforcement, but it also is a, look, we're doing our job, even though we're under-resourced and understaffed, and they're not providing us the funding we need. Yep. We're still trying to stop the bad guys, but...
Two known terrorists.
These are known terrorists. They were both on the terror watch list and... the actual known identified terrorists. So on the no-fly list and the terror watch list.
They're coming across the border. So remember what's happening at the border.
And really, we were told that this is not true. We've been told, remember, that's a Republican talking point. There's not really terrorists coming across the border. By the way, they do blend in on purpose. And I'm saying just because of basics, skin tone, hair, eyes, just everything, that when you're dealing with mass people, like for instance today, because they're preparing for the end of Title 42, there are 40,000 people amassed at the border. Two Yemenis who are terrorists could easily be a part of that group. And what we knew is that there were. So they were apprehended. Their pictures were put up, just like anyone else who would have been arrested and apprehended. But then, just the same day that the release goes up, Logan, the release goes down.
That's right. It was taken down, and everyone was like, well, why did that go down? Why did they really not catch him? What happened here? And what we were able to do at the ACLJ is really dive deep, file some Freedom of Information requests. You know, these things take time. You have to kind of fight it out. But when you do, you find out and you expose the truth. And that's why we've launched, easy to go to. Just go to aclj.org/coverup, and it walks you through all the details of why all this was deleted. Was it deleted to protect maybe the people who did this or stopped these terrorists? No, it was deleted because, Jordan, it changes the narrative. It changes the narrative because what they want you to believe is that there's no problem at the border and these aren't terrorists crossing the border. And we find out, of course, there is. So this heroic act by these, like I said, understaffed Customs and Borders Control agents, they do their job. They get celebrated for doing their job. And then immediately that celebratory moment is taken away. And we were able to show that the Biden administration was directly involved in this. And you can go through all the timeline beats on our website and check out. And this is the amazing work that we're doing here. It's really exposing the truth. So I encourage you to go to aclj.org/coverup. There's also great video content we just put out on all our social media, so you can share that as well. And you're going to see that in the next segment, really kind of giving you an explanation of all that went down on this.
Yeah, I think what it does, it takes you through, when we announce these FOIAs, and we had, you know, announced that we get this information, what does it look like along the way? How is this process? Because we tell you how, first you file the FOIA, then they don't want to respond, especially when you're talking about national security issues, even though they are obliged to under law, required to under law. They always wait until the deadline passes. Then you have to go to court. You have to get a court date. You have to go before a judge. The judge then says, hey, go try to work this out before I have to get involved. Then sometimes they'll give you something from that process. This one is still ongoing. So while we got the big kind of ticket item, we got the
yeah, we exposed the truth.
The fact that it was all happening. A PR move because it goes against the Biden administration narrative from the FBI 7th floor, that's who got involved here, that, hey, we don't want it out there from HHS and Mayorkas that there's actually terrorists crossing the southern border. We play down the crisis at the southern border. They don't even want to acknowledge that there's a problem at the southern border. So check out aclj.org/coverup. Share that with your friends and family. Join us on the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110.
We'll be right back.
You know, we don't listen. The big news in the media world, especially if you're listening to our broadcast live, which if you're watching on places like Rumble and YouTube, Facebook, you are. Tucker Carlson leaves Fox News.
Yeah, left Fox. It's over. The show. Yes. His sort of.
I was actually
ratings
at an event.
Juggernaut.
I was at the Heritage Foundation's 50th anniversary. He was the speaker because he started his career. First paid job in Washington was at the Heritage Foundation, which is a lot of people can say. And so he was there Friday. No rumblings that he wasn't going to be back on the air on Monday.
Yeah.
So, even if he did know at the time, he certainly didn't utilize that. That would have been an opportunity to even announce almost. You could have gotten ahead of it. He didn't, which was interesting. And I think it's news that is definitely catching people off guard because it's the second move in the past few days where people are not getting like a goodbye week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the show is over on Fox News, the Tucker's broadcast. So we're going to talk
about
that.
That was the final
show. That was the final show on Friday. What we don't want to do is honestly spend too much time on that because we're going to talk about that on the Secular Brothers podcast later on. It's where we dive more into pop culture and what's going on in the news media and all of that because we do have really important information to share today. And not that Tucker leaving Fox is not an important topic. It is, of course. It's an interesting story. And I'm sure more will develop throughout the day, but that's why we'll hit that this afternoon. But what we really want to focus on is our new campaign, this new work, aclj.org/coverup, especially as we're heading towards the end of our matching challenge. We're in the last week of our matching challenge for the month of April. I mean, all donations are effectively doubled. This shows you the work that we're doing, ongoing work that we are doing and what we've done at the ACLJ to expose a lot of the truth and the lies that are coming out of this administration.
Yeah. I mean, we see that this goes up on April 5th of 2021. By 3:20 on that same day, the email sent from the CBP Deputy Assistant Commissioner to the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security Public Affairs Assistant Secretary, Marcia Espinoza, inquiring how the alert got released without a heads up. And then by 8:54 p.m., the CBP Commissioner, the terrorist alert should not have gone out. And we need to get back in our lane and refer media inquiries to the FBI, which, again, if you look at the restructure, which occurred in the Bush years, CBP is no longer under the DOJ and the FBI. They don't answer to the FBI. What we have learned in the past couple of years, of course, they all should work together. And that we've actually had to pass laws so they will work together because they will like not share information with each other. But what we have learned over the years is the political control at the FBI is so out of control that they are telling Customs and Border Patrol what press releases to put up.
Yeah, and to take stuff down. I mean,
it's
like
all
the way
about
they dealt
narrative
with
instead of law enforcement. So while, again, we see the FBI show up a lot after a bad event occurs in the U.S., they tell us that they're stopping things, but then when we finally get a hint that people are doing their job, they want it taken down.
Yeah,
I think we should. To me, it's like, so whose narrative are you trying to protect? The American people? Or Joe Biden's. And if you're trying to protect Joe Biden's, then the whole role of the FBI has been destroyed.
You're going to start seeing videos that we've put together, kind of promo videos, commercials about this new campaign. And they're easily shareable. They're going to be on, they're already on Facebook. You're going to find them on Twitter. You're going to find them on Rumble. There are going to be places that you can repost them and share them. You're going to see them as ad campaigns running. So I want you to have an idea, but also gives you sort of the scope of what's happening in, you know, a minute or less. So I want you to take a look at this. This is sort of the unveiling, the launch of aclj.org/coverup.
Yeah,
ACLJ. In 2021, two Yemeni nationals on the FBI terror watch list were caught by U.S. Border Patrol agents. This was a heroic moment. Deep state officials silenced the heroism of our border agents who put their lives on the line to keep us safe. The White House doesn't want you to know they've lost all control of the border. If it wasn't for the work of the ACLJ filing a Freedom of Information Act request, you would never have known how close terrorists came to disappearing into the shadows of our city streets. We were able to do this all thanks to you. Keep us in the fight. To learn more, go to aclj.org/coverup.
aclj.org/coverup. You will start seeing some logo on social media. We want people to share that too. So if you go to, you could go to the website aclj.org/coverup, share that on your social media accounts.
Tweet it out.
We want to bring people in, not only to tell them this important story, but to explain how the work of the ACLJ, when it comes just to this one section of work that we do legally, which is our Freedom of Information Act work, the FOIA work, as you hear, how it exactly proceeds. This is a process you have to commit to. So you have to have donors on the front end who understand that when you take DHS and CBP and FBI to court, they try everything possible not to tell you the info. They say it's national security, it's ongoing investigation, we don't have to actually comply with the law that exists so that we know what is going on in our government. But ultimately, then you get before a judge, and the judge says, you do have to comply with the law. Go figure it out. Then they comply a little, but they don't comply fully. Right. So you have to go back to the judge again and say, they're not actually complying. So you look at the timeline. This all was in 2021. We had filed our FOIA within months. And you file a lawsuit within the timeline that you're allowed to. It's 30 days, good faith. You negotiate a little. And listen, we are doing this across the country. We're doing it in Arizona. We have a state open records request going in right now because we heard from Rick Rinnell and Abe Hamada, who ran for AG there, Hamada's campaign, that they had a whiteboard of Twitter users at the local county elections office that they were targeting for dis and misinformation. They were reporting likely to places like Twitter before like an Elon Musk took over to have you silenced. So we filed that under their law. They don't have a specific timeline or date. So it's by good faith. So it's been a few weeks. They haven't responded. We'll give them, maybe we'll send a notice in. And then we're going to go to court in Arizona to find out, did they truly have a whiteboard of American citizens that they wanted to silence? And instead of just focusing on running the election at a state board of election, they're playing politics with law, so like our elections, or law enforcement, which is this story.
That's right. We'd love to hear from you, too. You can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 as we talk about what's happening. Like you said, whether it's politics or not, they're silencing moments. And not just silencing moments that you'd think would make them look bad. That's the one part. This is a, like we've kind of said, the words we've been using are, these are heroic acts. These are Customs and Border Control, stopping people on the terror watch list, known terrorist. But their press release, where they got to celebrate and say, look how good we did, got taken down because it didn't fit the narrative. And the narrative is there's no terrorists at the border. There's no crisis at the border. And we were able to actually show that, expose that. And you can look through individual documents. You can really dive deep into this. That's why I really love this website. It's not just about a press release or a one-pager. You can go through all of the images of the actual terrorists. You can go through the images of all the documents that we got released. Some of the redacted. Still see what they've redacted or not redacted. Go through it. It's a lot of fun in a weird way to play around with it and just see what it's a very interactive experience. So I encourage you to go to aclj.org/coverup. And again, share that link on all your social media platforms. And as well, you'll see those videos running throughout. We'll play that video again coming up maybe in the next segment.
Just a short explanation of how committed you have to be to get this information. We filed the Freedom of Information Act in December. In February of 2022, we have to go to court. Okay, so you give them, it's like 30 business days, but it's business days. So you can't count weekends and you can't count holidays. Remember, so we filed in December. So there's a lot of holidays coming up.
6 weeks, a lot of times,
Yes, more than that. And the court does not like if you hold them just to that. This is just what's developed on that 30 days. Did you actually try to contact them again? Did you actually try to work it out? We did. They didn't respond. It was then March of 2023. So you go from December of 2021 to March of 2023 till you get this information.
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago. We talked about it on air. We exposed
it. That's a commitment to getting the info. And then people say, well, what do you do with it? You give it to congressional committees. People like Jim Jordan, who then investigate, and you bring forward these people. But also, this one is not done. We have exposed some names. It's always interesting because they always give you somebody that they're willing to throw under the bus, the lowest learner of the scandal, if you will. What we've also learned from that one is that it's obviously not just the lowest learner. They have to have co-conspirators, if you will, working with them to implement this at a level nationwide. Remember, they're doing this at a nationwide. They are running the press relations for the entire border agency.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there's a lot of comments coming in. People saying, why is it such a slow system? What can we do to fix that? That's a whole nother question probably we have to deal
That's
with.
That's draining the swamp. Yeah. So this is a way you drain the swamp is by exposing to the American people how bad the swamp is. Then you've got to kill it from the inside, ultimately. And what has been a problem, and I mean, Rick Rinnell could talk to this because of the he came into he declassified a lot of information. He said this is wrong that we hide this much from the American people and Congress. Is that people then who complain that this stuff is bad, they get into power and they utilize the same rules.
Right. Nothing ever
changes. So Republicans have been just as bad as Democrats, I would say, until basically midway through the Trump administration. He had to clear out almost his first set of cabinet because they were the same old people, unfortunately, who would use these laws to block Americans from getting access. So this has not just been purely a Democrat issue. It's been a Washington, D.C. swamp problem. But groups like the ACLJ, we're ready. We're already ready to go. We're doing this work. So we encourage you to support our work. We have our matching challenge this month at ACLJ.org. You can't do this without donors, without supporters who understand the importance of the commitment to these battles, to uncover the truth and to expose the bad actors. ACLJ.org/coverup. Share it with your friends and family. So folks, we've launched ACLJ.org/coverup to walk you through what it looks like in an ACLJ FOIA. We talk about it all the time on our broadcast, the commitment you have to have. You know, the news will come out in April of 2021. You file in December of 2021. Then you file the FOIA. Then you got to go to court. Then you go to court. And ultimately here we have just a quick timeline and a longer timeline set up for you at ACLJ.org/coverup. So we filed initially in December of 2021. The FOIA. Then we had to go to court February of 2022. And then ultimately you finally get the court mandating the production of documents and you get your first batch of documents March of 2023, just last month. This is still an ongoing case, by the way. We're still telling the judge, hey, they've complied to this point, but they have not completely complied with what the laws and requirements are when it comes to the Freedom of Information Act request. We do this at the federal level. We have these at the state level, where the County Board of Elections, Arizona, a whiteboard targeting American citizens because they didn't like their position on elections. Like, that's what they're spending their time with, reporting Americans to social media companies. That's ongoing right now as we speak, too. That's about to go to court in Arizona because they have no specific deadline there. It's just good faith. So we got a few weeks in. Good faith is up. And we go to court. We can only do that, though, because of our donors. You have to be committed to this battle. You can't just be a fly-by-night, hey, we'll file this, and 6 months later, we're going to get all this information.
No, and, you know, of the 10 you file, it's the one out of the 10 that really gives you significant info. I'll never forget the one we had. We did a Freedom of Information Act demand, which ended up going to court on a situation with Israel, only to find out when we started getting documents after we went to court that the State Department funded directly Mahmoud Abbas's son, that's the head of the Palestinian Authority, $1 million a year for multiple years in a row, personally, for his democracy project, as they called it. And this is, you only find this out when you go to court and take action here, which is exactly what we've done.
Yeah, and we've said this is a major Washington problem. Republicans get in there and start doing the same thing. And so what we've saw with even in the Trump administration, remember the first couple of years, he put in a lot of cabinet that was very Washington. They would do the same thing. They would utilize these laws to kind of stonewall the American people. Then Rick Reynolds came along and said, no, we're going to declassify this overclassification. We're going to get in there and actually start telling the American people what they deserve to know. It's not putting anyone's life at risk. It's not putting our source and method. They've overdone. The fact that we all have heard that term over and over again tells you that the federal government is just utilizing these terms to tell a court, we don't have to tell the American people what we're doing with their taxpayer dollars. Yeah,
absolutely. I think we should play this video again. This is our promo video about this topic, what's going on. You can go to aclj.org/coverup. I know a lot of you just joined us on Rumble because push notification just went out. So thousands of you just joined us. Also, look, with what's going on in the news today, this is why we're thankful that there are sources like Rumble. We can come completely independent and come on a broadcast with you. That there's no one above us saying what you can and can't say. There's no one above us taking us out or saying that you're fired or that you're being like
will not know what you're alluding to.
No, everyone knows. It's the biggest story in the country. We all know what this is right now. So you know, that's why we're thankful that there are places that we can have our own voices. So I'm thankful to our friends at Rumble, obviously at ACLJ.org as well, where our content gets featured. And we appreciate that. So let's take a look at this video. This is our promo video. You can be able to share this on all those platforms. We encourage you to do it. But if you're brand new, you didn't see this in the last segment, this is what we're talking about.
In 2021, two Yemeni nationals on the FBI terror watch list were caught by U.S. Border Patrol agents. This was a heroic moment. deep state officials silence the heroism of our border agents who put their lives on the line to keep us safe. The White House doesn't want you to know they've lost all control of the border. If it wasn't for the work of the ACLJ filing a Freedom of Information Act request, you would never have known how close terrorists came to disappearing into the shadows of our city streets. We were able to do this all thanks to you. Keep us in the fight. To learn more, go to aclj.org/coverup.
All right, so there you go. And we want you to share that with your friends and family, too. So if you're an ACLJ supporter, that is the link, Logan, to share. We want people to share. You'll see the video that we're playing. It's basically the ad campaign for the site. And we want people to go and check this out so you can see an example of the ACLJ in action.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see the actual work that we're doing. That's something that's been important to you to make sure that we don't just commentate on the news,
right,
that we show that we're making the news.
Yeah, I need to reiterate this one point, which is, I know, something you both have talked about, and that is you start these cases out, which it's called a Freedom of Information Act request. So it's not litigation. It's a demand, basically, for documents. And 9 times out of 10, they come back with nothing. Or they'll say it's all, you know, subject to exemptions. And then we go to federal court. And that's when you get a federal court is when you start, you're litigating, you're in court, you start getting documents, or you don't get documents and you press harder. In a case like this, we got documents in federal court, but there were redactions. So now you go back. And this is why the cover-up is brand new. And by the way, we're not attacking in any way the Border Patrol agents who did a fantastic job of catching these two individuals that were on the Yemeni individuals on the terror watch list. It was the idea that they put out the information and that the FBI decided to pull it down so that you, the American people, don't know what's going on our border because, as you said, it doesn't fit their narrative. And that's all this was at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's what I think people have. Why is the FBI getting involved? I mean, yes, they run some of the watch lists, the terror list, but this was a border issue,
yep,
not an FBI issue. And yet they defer to the FBI like they're the overlords of all the decision-making process in Washington, D.C. I mean, you see these emails, they're so apologetic to them. And it does underscore that narrative, like the FBI is way too powerful, that it like threatens everyone, and so they're in control, and they have this kind of feeling at the top of the FBI that it's not the elected branch, it's not the political appointees, it's law enforcement running a country. And no one wants that. No one wants a country run by law enforcement officials trying to use information to blackmail people or force them into decision-making just because it doesn't fit a political narrative that they happen to agree with at the time. The FBI goes up and down. Either side you're on, look at history. They've been on the wrong side of history a few times when they try to get involved in politics instead of law enforcement.
Well, that is called mission creep. And yep, what happens is the weaponization of these agencies. And we first saw it with the IRS. If we really look back, you got to go back about 10 years. And it was about 10 years ago that we saw the weaponization of the Internal Revenue Service under the Obama administration. That opened the door to weaponize the FBI, to weaponize the Department of Justice, to weaponize the Federal Election Commission, all of that. So that is how this took place, and that's how this went.
Yeah, we got to stop. We got to break into this. All right, breaking news. Sometimes you win some and you lose some.
Everybody's going today.
You win some and you lose some. And the breaking news, obviously, was that Tucker Carlson and Fox are parted ways, but just announced fired from CNN, Don Lemon out completely. The word fired, actually, is the word he tweeted out. I've been fired at CNN.
Can I say something about that?
Maybe they're going to join up together.
He
maybe
was it'll the be like most obnoxious individual on air that I had to deal with for 4 years.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't go on his programs. Not doing the whole parted ways.
No, he used the word fired. And look, he's been going through a lot the last few weeks. The pressure has been on.
Interesting timing.
This is a whole media.
This is classic CNN.
I know.
They're going to get so overshadowed, though.
I know.
So if you're Don Lemon and you think, okay, at least I can get some news today and maybe I'll go launch this, and like, no one's going to be talking about you getting fired because Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, every comment. Just left a lot Fox of celebratory News comments now happening on Rumble. So you know what? Again, you win some, you lose some. It happens sometimes, and sometimes agreements can't be made. But
that was not obviously the Don Lemon situation.
I mean, God, you got rid of Brian Stetler, and now you have Don Lemon. I mean, maybe I'll tune into CNN. Maybe they'll have a decent lineup.
They're
going to
bring Chris Cuomo back.
No, they got maybe who they have. They have Charles Barkley. Yeah, Chuck, come back. Bring back Crossfire. We'll do that. Or maybe you have
what a
you have
landscape.
Lemon and Carlson do like Hannity and Combs, which would be unbelievable.
All right, we'll be right back.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. And again, there are a lot of breaking news in the media landscape. We're going to cover that too on the Seculo Brothers podcast later because it's literally happening as we speak. So not only Tucker Carlson parting ways with Fox News, that's the line out of both of those parties right now. Don Lemon just tweeted out he got fired from CNN. So he is not going quietly into the we could not come to an agreement or there was some kind of internal discussion and we'll walk away, which is what, again, the Tucker Carlson story, how that's been reported. And that was just 5 minutes before we went on air. Don Lemon happens while we're on air. He tweets, I don't know if it's broken to the news yet. I don't think it has to, like, cable news.
Not yet.
That they are acknowledging, Fox did acknowledge that Tucker had left. I don't think they've yet.
They're not making it clear. It's not clear that, and with Tucker leaving, his last show was last Friday. He's not doing a farewell show.
Yeah, I was at
show.
A bit on Friday
that he spoke
night,
at.
That he Heritage. Went right from the show to Heritage Foundation's 50th anniversary. That was where his first job was, like a lot of people in Washington. And he was the main speaker. There was no hint. In fact, they still had a banner up from a reception that he did before, like 5 minutes before, because he came straight from the show with Tucker Carlson tonight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they still had the Fox News banner up at the event.
Well, it's a changing media. The media landscape's changing.
Don Lemon, finally, people had said for years.
Especially the last year.
That just his, and unfortunately it felt like just his race was protecting him from being this jerk to everybody, including women and every guest. And at a certain point,
remember he said
say,
the
you
thing
know what?
About Nikki Haley said the past her prime, women
and
are past their prime.
People would never have gone
40.
Back on air after that.
Yeah.
Or after your two female co-hosts said, you are a misogynist.
Yeah.
But they kept protecting him there for a long time. But ultimately,
Tucker's out today, and that gives them cover to make a move that doesn't get so much attention.
Right. Financially, that's not a big – like, they're always worried about those kind of – how this impacts their financial bottom line. Don Lemon was already taken out of primetime.
Yeah.
And moved to a show that no one was – I think there were, like, some days 30,000 people watching.
Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, like
– it's like one good radio station for us.
Yeah.
I mean, so let's go to the Alvin Bragg story for a moment.
That's another story that's probably not getting as much attention right now because of it occurred late Friday night.
So remember, there was a showdown in federal court between the New York District Attorney for New York County, for Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, and Jim Jordan, the Judiciary Committee, where Jim Jordan subpoenaed Alvin Bragg's former associate, Mark Pomerantz, who wrote a book about the Trump investigation. And properly, Jim Jordan said, we want to talk to him, and it's certainly not privileged because look what you've done. Well, let me give you what happened there. We filed our brief Friday, 1 hour later. I'm not saying it's a direct correlation, but 1 hour later. And 1 hour later, Alvin Bragg caved in, and Pomerantz is going to be deposed tomorrow. Now, I say it's a coincidence, but the underlying case that compelled the testimony, and shows that this is a political, we said this political prosecution of the former president, couldn't be clearer, and it's exactly what I warned at the Supreme Court. But what happened was the district court judge in the case that ruled in favor of the Judiciary Committee cited our Supreme Court cases where we represented, Jordan and I represented former President Trump while he was president. They cited those cases as the basis for the congressional authority on the subpoena and how do you balance this. But they also warned, the court warned the parties that weaponizing 3,200 or 2,300 local district attorneys who have political constituencies to go after presidents or candidates that are running for president puts your thumb on the scale of election and is election interference. And that's what these government agencies need to be aware of as they move forward on these pending announcements on former President Trump. It's certainly looking like they're putting their thumb on the scale when you've got the leading political candidate for the Republican Party now subject to all of this.
They're writing books about it. I mean,
yes.
They did book tours. Finally, there was common sense in the judiciary, too.
Yes.
The judge said, listen, to the American people, you can't write a book about the case that you quit the DA's office. Do a book tour, do a media tour, and then say you can't talk to Congress. And that's just common sense to the American people. Is if you're going to be that lawyer and give away all your privileges and write a book on it, well, guess what? We can ask you questions about it. And ultimately, I think Alvin Bragg, he had another, like he's lost half his cases he tries to prosecute. This was another big loser. I think other DAs probably said, please stop doing this case because you're going to set a horrible precedent for us.
Yes.
We'll be right back. Rick Rendell joining us on Seculo. cover-up. So we've launched aclj.org/cover-up to give you an inside look at what it takes to go through with a FOIA process, especially when you're dealing with anything with national security or a border. This involved the two Yemeni terrorists that were apprehended by Customs and Border Patrol. And the same day the press release goes out, FBI steps in and says, nope. And we know it's narrative because we've been talking about how the southern border is porous. And when you have a porous southern border, bad guys utilize it, whether that's drug cartels or terrorist groups. And the left has always said, oh, that's just, you're just talking about it. It's really not that big of a deal. There's 40,000 people at the southern border estimated right now just waiting for Title 42 to expire. I want to bring in Rick Rendell right now, former acting director of national intelligence, a senior advisor for us at the ACLJ. Because, Rick, we see already Vice President Harris is trying to blame the administration you worked in for the crisis we're about to see at the southern border because they can no longer justify to a court that we're in a pandemic.
Look, here we go again. The State Department is leaving Americans behind. I don't understand why we evacuate the diplomats from the embassy. The embassy is supposed to be the first line to help Americans. Why are we pulling the diplomats out when they are supposed to be the ones helping Americans? And let me just say this, Jordan. I know a lot of Foreign Service officers. I've heard from many who are complaining that the diplomats are pulled out, leaving the Americans behind. This makes the State Department look incredibly wimpy. And that's not what they are there to do. They are there to help Americans. And they want to be able to stay in the embassy and help Americans. Not all these diplomats want to cut and run.
Yeah, I mean, we sit in a special forces operation, which they did their job to evacuate. That's what they do. They follow the orders. But they come in from Djibouti. They take them out. And then we get a report there's 16,000 Americans left in Sudan. But now they're downplaying the idea, well, there a lot of them are dual citizens, so they're Sudanese anyway, so just let them be. I mean, Rick, that's pretty offensive to me as an American and as someone who's done a lot of work abroad like you have. Like, the fact these are American citizens. They have the same citizenship rights as you or me or anyone else, and they're downplaying their importance as if they're not fully citizens because they happen to have Sudanese heritage.
Well, John Kirby went so far as to say they don't want to get out because they're dual citizens. If you go back and you look at his interviews, he's literally saying that they because they're dual citizens, they don't want to leave. That is not true. And once again, we have John Kirby, who from the podium of the United States government is giving terrible misinformation. Remember, he's the one who stepped forward during the Afghanistan time saying that everything was fine in Afghanistan. The pictures we could see were not, that wasn't true. He's the one who said, we've got the terrorists. We struck back against the terrorists in Afghanistan. That wasn't true. We actually did not hit the terrorists. We hit children. And all of the media in Washington just regurgitated dutifully the pronouncements of government officials. We need to have a skeptical media. We need people to be able to hold these bureaucrats to account. What they're saying from the podium is not true. Americans want to get out of Sudan. And what the Biden team did is evacuate all the diplomats at the embassy. No one's there to help them.
Yeah, you know, you feel like those are the people that they're supposed to be there to assist the people in need, especially citizens. These are just allies, people that assisted the U.S. And it's been a bad situation there for years. It's not like this should have been that. It seems like another intelligence failure.
It does.
Like, why did the U.S. We had no idea that this was about to crumble?
You know, Rick was mentioning Admiral Kirby, John Kirby. And let's just be honest, Rick. This guy's not exactly a confidence builder. Now, he's only got the information that they give him. But he does not give, as we say in diplomatic speak, confidence building measures when he gets to the podium. He just doesn't. I think one of the things that we're seeing is and you know this from your diplomatic work and also your work as DNI, exit strategy as important as entrance strategy. How you get out of a situation to leave in a more stable environment is as important as how you engage it. I think of the Middle East. Under your team, when you were in office as a member of the cabinet, we end up with the Abraham Accords. It was going to be the Saudis were the next one. I know this. Well, the Saudis were the next one that were going to sign it. Now they're in cahoots with Iran and Russia. Why? Because the United States entry and exit strategies are so upside down.
Look, there's not a single country around the world that is in better shape because of the Biden administration. I could list so many problems around the world that are getting worse. And, you know, this is a big black eye for the State Department, a department that I care very deeply about. And my colleagues, my former colleagues there at the State Department, are horrified that their reputation is being sullied by these decisions where you go in, you take all of the diplomats, you get them out, and you leave Americans behind. This is outrageous. And, you know, Congress and the media should start pushing back and holding the Biden administration to account.
And it seemed like, too, this was another like failed opportunity. So you had this overthrow of Bashir in 2019. Things are messy when there's overthrow. So there's a couple of military groups at stake here. And yet we haven't been able to seize on that moment. And I guarantee that the line from the State Department will likely be, unfortunately, as we've seen, that they think it's working, Rick, is we'll just blame the Trump administration. And so I wouldn't doubt that that's going to be what we hear today, is they're just going to say, you know what, it got messy because Donald Trump put us in this spot.
No, and the opposite is true. I mean, you look, first of all, we have to be clear, George W. Bush, his administration did some great work in Sudan. I mean, I've been working on the issue of Sudan since 2003. I worked for John Danforth, who was the presidential envoy for Sudan. I worked with Rich Williamson, who was the presidential envoy for Sudan. I actually ran all of the public affairs strategy on the issue of Sudan out of the UN office for Ambassador Rich Williamson. And so we've had a series of successes. We stabilized the area. And don't forget this, there are 12 peacekeeping operations of the UN, blue-helmeted peacekeeping operations. Two of them are Sudan. One is Sudan and one is South Sudan. And that is because the country was split into two to help bring about peace. We are spending more than $1.4 billion every single year through the UN to help the people of Sudan and South Sudan. The American taxpayer pays 25% of that. The Biden administration over the last 3 years completely ignored it. We should also say that Susan Rice, who was the Assistant Secretary of State for Africa in the Bill Clinton administration, has been inside the White House, intimately involved in all of these policies. She announced today that she's leaving. In the wake of Susan Rice is also Sudan chaos and a whole bunch of other issues that are in chaos.
Yeah, it's always her timing, her entry. We talk about entries and exits. She's always got an interesting timing, too. It's like as things start hitting the fan,
she's going to go to work for the campaign because Biden's going to supposedly announce tomorrow. But
then there's
knows?
Another failed state.
Yeah.
I mean, in their wake of their strategy. I mean, these were countries that tried to do the right thing. Get rid of the bad guy wanted by the world for genocide. Yeah. So help us out. And they need help to structure. And they got rushed into a civilian government. That fell. We didn't support that government. It fell. There's two military factions. It's Rick's talking about. The Christian community is broken off in Sudan into a place that's safer for them. But if you read about, they're highly critical of them too. But they've only been running a country for a few years.
You know,
it's not going to be a pretty perfect thing.
No, and that's again the lack of strategy. Rick, I want to take the last minute here and talk about, you know, you mentioned earlier, and that is ACLJ.org/cover-up. And this is, and we've talked about this a lot, these Freedom of Information Act requests of litigation. You, out of 10 cases, you get the one, and this was certainly the one. Where we two Yemeni individuals on a terror watch list came in the United States. The Border Patrol did a great job in apprehending them, and the Department of Justice wanted to squelch that because it wasn't the narrative that the government wanted us to know, the American people.
The cover-up is huge, and Jay, let's be honest, we don't know if it's just these two that were on the terrorist watch list. There could be others because they're trying to cover this up. Thank God for our team at ACLJ. I tweeted out the link where people can raise their voice, get involved, hold this Biden administration to account, hold your government to account. Clearly, the media in Washington aren't doing it. ACLJ is going to have to step up and do it.
As always, we appreciate that. We appreciate you sending out the link as well. We're encouraging people who are listening to, if you're an ACLJ supporter, do what Rick did. You tweet out ACLJ.org/cover-up. So it's simple to do. We've got actually new information. I just got it from our producer, Will, so I haven't had time to even check this information out from CBP and our ongoing legal work. Because remember, we're in court. They have produced some documents, but not everything that we're entitled to. And so we've got breaking news on that as well. We come back on Secular. I want you to check out aclj.org/coverup. It's a great place to send friends and family to learn about what the ACLJ's work looks like behind the scenes. So you hear it all. We report it to you immediately, our supporters. What we don't always have time is to tell you the entire narrative and this and the work of all it takes to get there. And the years of commitment from our legal team fighting it out against a government that has endless resources because of you and me, the taxpayer. So aclj.org/coverup. When we come back, more information from CBP that we're just getting as this ongoing case continues. We'll be right back on Secular. So in these FOIA cases, which you'll learn about at aclj.org/coverup, when you ultimately, the deadline passes and you get to go to court, a judge first says to the agency, okay, you're in court, you have to comply with this, so go comply. And they start producing documents. In this case, they did. They produced about 444 documents to us. They try to overwhelm you with that too. When they ultimately get to the point where they have to produce, they produce an unbelievable amount of documents that aren't even that relevant. And remember, every email back and forth is a separate, you know, document. They print all this out. It's kind of like how we talk about the IRS is still using fax machines. The FOIA process is like boxes of documents. Sometimes you get a digitized version, but it's not necessarily searchable or how it's utilized. So we just got a new response. So we're still in court because we know they haven't fully complied. And we also challenge redactions. So now CBP has told us in writing that they have processed 444 pages of documents in response to our request and handed those over. But they have determined that there are another 409 pages of documents that we are entitled to.
Yes.
That are relevant under our FOIA, but that they have sent to other government agencies
for consultation.
So they're utilizing the FBI, I guarantee you, and other places to then stonewall the information. Because they're always willing to like throw out one person.
Yeah.
Here they did with this Maria Espinosa, with Espinosa, but then there's always more than one Lois Lerner.
Well, that's why
it doesn't work with one person. No. Cannot do this in the federal government alone.
That's why it's not just the substance of what you get on these document requests. It's when they redact pages, which they do a lot, and then you got to go fight over that. You do usually get who the email was from or the text message was from and who it was to. And that tells you a lot of what was going on here. But you just mentioned this 409 pages of documents have been sent to other government agencies for consultation, which means FBI, Homeland Security, Secretary of State, State Department could all be being reviewing all of this to determine release, because we have just peeled back the first layer of this onion. So when you go to aclj.org/coverup, you're going to see the timeline of exactly what has been hidden from the American people during all this. Why was this covered up is the question. Why was it that Homeland Security and Border Patrol agents were successful in apprehending two terrorists, individuals on the terror watch list published by the Department of State, the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI, and yet that's those same entities demanded that press release be removed because, quote, our partners at the FBI will not like this. Ask yourself why that happened, and that's exactly why we have this new website up at aclj.org/coverup. Let's go ahead and play the spot. Do we have one ready to go, Will? This is what's running now on all of our media platforms. Take a listen.
In 2021, two Yemeni nationals on the FBI terror watch list were caught by U.S. Border Patrol agents. This was a heroic moment. Deep state officials silenced the heroism of our border agents who put their lives on the line to keep us safe. The White House doesn't want you to know they've lost all control of the border. If it wasn't for the work of the ACLJ filing a Freedom of Information Act request, you would never have known how close terrorists came to disappearing into the shadows of our city streets. We were able to do this all thanks to you. Keep us in the fight. To learn more, go to aclj.org/coverup.
These are fights, by the way, that impact you, your family, your children, your grandchildren. Terrorists coming into the United States. Fortunately, these two were apprehended. We have no idea. As Rick Grinnellson, he was the director of national intelligence, folks. We have no idea how many more got in. But we do know this. There's a crisis at the border. And rather than just talking about it at the ACLJ, we are getting to the bottom of it to expose what is the real underbelly here for the American people, which these terrorists, I mean, think about this. Why would Yemeni terrorists be coming in via Mexico?
Because it's easy.
Right.
I mean, that's all. That's just bad guys use porous. They use chaos. I mean, when you look at any, that's the problem with terror groups in places like Sudan. When you get a country the size of Sudan, that was the home base of Bin Laden before he had to go to the mountains of Afghanistan, he was operating openly in Khartoum. I mean, they have his house. It's in the main streets. And he was using a bad government to house him. Now, ultimately, it got too dangerous for that government to house him as they kicked him out. Then he ends up in the foot. He goes to another failed state,
right.
Afghanistan, a little bit less on the radar of the world and tougher to get to. Remember, Sudan is sitting on oil reserves like Saudi Arabia. So it's a country that is worthwhile to fight for, as these groups do, because they can enrich themselves. I mean, all these warlords are billionaires. So they're fighting over massive amounts of resources. They own the ports. If you look at how it works through the oil ports in Africa, for that region of Africa, you've got to go through Sudan. So for years, we had been punishing ourselves because they were a sponsor of terrorism. Yep. And we would not utilize the ports out of Khartoum for oil production. Then we lifted those sanctions, which helped the United States, and they were getting on the right track. But South Sudan needed that because they had oil in their country, but they had no way to get it out. It had to still go through Khartoum and through the traditional outlets. You can't just build a port for releasing oil, even if you're sitting on those reserves. But instead of, again, it's not seizing all these moments. When we saw in the Islamic world a willingness to come to the table to unify against radicals, and these are in fairly radical countries that used to harbor the worst of the worst offenders. So whether you can criticize the Saudis for what family members supported what group 25 years ago, the truth is they allow us to operate a military base there.
Right.
With a full military to keep an eye on, guess who? Not the Saudis, Iran. So they're not perfect actors. And in a country like Sudan, where you had a coup and then a military coup, so you had a coup in 2019 overthrowing Bashir, who was a wanted criminal by the ICC. The civilian government can't run things. That's not unusual in a country that size and that destabilized. So two military groups were brought in, legally funded, to get things under control. Then they now are fighting because there is no democracy. And again, we've learned this. Everybody's learned you can't rush to that.
You can't take Jeffersonian democracy and throw it on Sudan.
That's had 30 years of a dictator.
Right.
Of a dictator like Putin now, wanted by the ICC, which shows you how meaningless that can become because they utilize that to actually retain power. Now, ultimately, their own people speak up, but this is going to be another dangerous situation. And it's not so much what is even the Sudanese versus Sudanese. The bad actors are going to say, you know what? We can move back into Khartoum. Got a lot more resources. This is a better place for us to operate as a terrorist group than the hills of Afghanistan.
But you know what's also important, and we talk about this with our aclj.org/coverup. Here's the tagline. You were not supposed to know about it. You, the American people, were not supposed to know about any of the issues we discussed today. But that's where the ACLJ comes in. Why was this covered up? We get the answers to that because it cut against the narrative. But now we know the facts, and we're about to find out 409 other facts in the next weeks ahead on that litigation. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're in the last few days of our matching challenge campaign. Let me encourage you to go to aclj.org, and any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. That's aclj.org. We encourage you to go there and check out aclj.org/, this is important, folks, cover up to get more information. We'll talk to you tomorrow.